Morning. Today I want to talk to you guys about the topic, life is a journey. We know this, we have music that sings to this truth. Life is a dance, you learn as you go. Life is a highway, I want my way. I've had choices since the day I was born. It's the circle of life and it moves us all. We have a lot of views. Kind of can boil it down to two basic views. Number one, life is a journey, or number two, life is a warehouse to be filled. If life is a warehouse, then we spend hours, days, months, years collecting, protecting, fortifying ourselves against life's contingencies. Warren Buffett, one of America's richest men, was asked, "Now that you're the richest man in the country, what is your next goal?" He said, thought for a moment and said, "To be the oldest man." He seeks to be a collector of money and years, and there's nothing wrong with being rich or having a long life, but if that's the reason for living, then you've missed the point. On the contrary, we receive a very different message from the New Testament, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." Life is a journey. There are many ways that we can go. We can be moving in four different reasons. One of the ways we can move in life, our journey, is out of fear. Famous basketball player Satchel Paige is famous for, or not famous, but has been quoted as saying that don't turn to look around because something might be gaining on you. Something might be catching up to you from your past, so don't look back. It's kind of the idea of living your journey out of fear. Another way we can do it is aimlessly, just letting things happen to you. Things will fall into place. I don't have to worry. I don't have to plan. And sometimes it even falls under the guise of, well, I'm letting God lead me where He wants to go. And I'm going to say there's a difference between following what God lead is, which has a plan, and just going aimlessly. You can also be going in the wrong direction. There is a group of three students who were going from the East Coast to the West Coast for holiday vacation. They had decided they were going to drive together from college to get to home. So they started traveling west, and they said, well, we'll have the two sleeping and one driving, and then we'll switch off whenever need be. In the middle of the night, about 6 or 7 a.m., one of the guys said to another, "It's your turn." So he jumped in the car, pulled out of the gas station, and started driving. Well, along the way, he started to notice the sun coming up. The sun was coming up right in front of him. And he thought, we're going west, and the sun's in front of me. He had been going about 2 hours this way and to figure out that he had been on the wrong path. Luckily for this guy, he could turn around. And as for Christians, we are able to turn around. We call it repentance. Doing a 180 to fix the direction we're going. We can also follow our own appetites, kind of like sheep whenever they go astray. The one who, of the 99 who went astray, could have been going off because of finding good grass and didn't really look around. If you look at this picture closely, you don't see many sheep with their heads up. They're focused on the food. And sometimes we can get so focused on what our appetites want. Maybe food, maybe just desires of different things. And we can, without knowing it, kind of walk away from God. How sheep get lost? They're focused on what they want, on their own appetites. Same thing for us. We don't intend to get lost. We do a little straying here and there. Maybe think, oh, I can cut a corner here. And before we know it, we've gone a long way from God. It was not intentional, just kind of happened. But there is hope for us. Whenever we realize we've gone on the wrong path, we can change the direction we're going. In Bible speak, repentance, conversion, getting back to following God. It said God has a dream for every human being. God has a plan of what He wants you to accomplish while we're here on this earth. To get where you are from right now to where the dream is, we need to be moving in the right direction. The journey. We need to be traveling where God wants us to go. This is the message of the Bible. Our scripture reading today is that we train, we plan, we get ourselves on the right direction to fulfill God's plan. Life is a journey. Life, as it compares here, is a race. There's a beginning point, there's a traveling, and then there's the end, where we hope to be, where we hope to get to. Our ancestors, our spiritual ancestors, knew this. Abraham and Sarah were one of the few first people to get on the track of following God, going wherever He wants. That God wants a day-by-day, moment-by-moment relationship with Him. Following Him constantly versus just every so often. God told Abraham and Sarah that He had plans for them. To fulfill those plans, though, they had to move out. They had to leave behind the bad. They had to follow and do what God had said. They would have to follow where God led them. Day by day, God leading them. It doesn't happen unless you have a day by day, moment by moment relationship with God. That was the beginning of the faith journey for Abraham and Sarah. And for all Christians as well, as to say, when God finds us and He says, follow Me, we've got to be willing to move out, to follow what He has said. When God, who spoke to Abraham and Sarah, came in the flesh, what was it that He said to His disciples? Follow Me. That meant leaving their jobs and their old lives behind. And Jesus calls us to faith with the same thing of follow Him. Now, if you accept this life as a journey, there are a few choices you're going to have to make. Number one is, what do you bring with you? And what do you leave behind? Kind of the advice is travel light. There's a story of a man who carried a Swiss Army knife for 20 years. Okay? For 20 years, he had never used it, never got to use it, never had a need for using it. Till finally, 20 years later, at a hotel, the faucet wouldn't work, and so he had to tighten it down. He had his Swiss Army knife, so he pulled it out and tightened it down. He could have called room service, but instead he finally got to use this Swiss Army knife that he had been carrying around for so long. And kind of to compare, we oftentimes as human beings try to carry everything with us. We try to plan for every contingency. We hold on to baggage that we maybe should have let go a long time ago. We carry around our Swiss Army knives, our Band-Aids, our aspirin, our parachutes, because we want to prepare. We overload ourselves sometimes with things that maybe we don't need. We carry a lot of baggage in life, maybe that's even unnecessary. There was a man and his son, who his son decided he was going to take a year off of college, between high school and college, get a job. With his tax refund, he went out and bought a race bike. He'd always wanted one. And the next day he said, there's a race tomorrow, I'm going to go to it. So he went, came back. His dad saw he had the first place trophy. And his dad, in his wonderful dad-believingness, said, how in the world did you win? And the son said, well, all I did was start out pedaling as fast as I could, and I made sure I did not let anybody pass me. And to that, he kind of coined the phrase, anything worth doing, if it's really worth doing, is worth doing poorly. And kind of the advice to that is, don't wait until you have all the equipment, all the training that you need, and all the courses, unless you're a brain surgeon, before you step out and do what you're trying to do, what you've been given to. If God gives you a dream, don't spend hours and days and months getting ready. Launch out. Take that initiative. The next question you got to ask yourself is, who do you want to bring with you? Don't travel alone. Whenever you look at sin in someone's life, it always seems to be the points when they're left alone, left to their own devices. Loneliness can be destructive. We oftentimes go down paths that we shouldn't whenever we hit that loneliness. David, whenever he was supposed to go out with his army, staying home, that's when he got in trouble. Jesus said in John 15, verse 12, "Love one another just as I have loved you." How can we love if there's no one to love? How did Jesus love the 12? He said, "Travel with me." He said it in the Bible as, "Follow me, come with me, spend life with me." Jesus loved them because they were with him. He was able to love them. And we see even the Messiah didn't travel alone. Next question you got to ask is, do you want a map or a guide? There's a story of an old missionary informing some new missionaries of how to go about to get to this new founded area, this tribe that was open to the gospel. And he said, "When you come to this pass, don't turn left. That'll lead you to a tribe that will likely kill you rather than even speak with you. And whenever you get to the jungle, be very careful. Be careful of quicksand. Be careful of the jungle in general." And he kept going on and on of all the different things that they had to watch out for. And it began to dawn on the missionaries that if they made one wrong turn, that would be it. And by and large, the old missionary said, "You know what? I've got time. I'll take you." Our guide is Jesus. He says to us, "Move out, move over, I'll drive. Move out, I'll lead you." A guide is better than a map. A guide is what Jesus has said, "Follow me, and I will lead you." Jesus wants to be the guide on our journey. He says in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "I am the way." It's very important that we realize the depth of what that is. He will show us the way, but we need to choose that we're going to have Jesus as our guide. Choice number four is, what do you expect from the journey? Do you expect safety or do you expect adventure? As a Christian, which do you expect? If you want safety, I suggest that you stay where you're at, because that's the only place you're going to find safety. Here's a quote I wanted to share with you. "There is no such thing as security. It doesn't exist. Life is either an adventure or it is nothing." Source is unknown, but I think it kind of points to life is an adventure. You can miss it or you can use it, take it. If you believe this, and if you're ready for adventure, God has one ready for you. He has a plan for your life. He has a dream, a destiny, and he'll show you. But it won't be easy. You will have problems. On the journey with Jesus, you'll have adventure. Life is a journey. There's no escaping it. What's your goals on this journey of life that we are set on? An old ad from a steamship company said, "Getting there is half the fun." Do we think that that's a part of our Christian walk, that the journey is important for the destination? That if we follow the right path, that it will lead us to the destination? Life is a journey, so travel light. Get rid of all those things in life that we don't need to hold on to, that we sometimes maybe even harbor. Trust your guide, the guide who lives, who is God, and who loves each and every one of us, whose name is Jesus. Life is a journey. I urge you to keep going. Choose adventure. Trust your guide and get going on the journey that God has set us on. That is the call that God gives to us. He wants us to follow. He wants us to strike out and say, "I'm going to go for it. I'm going to seek to be what God wants me to be," rather than just staying put and getting through life. If any of you have a need for God today, please come tell me as we stand and as we sing.